This summer I have decided to take the opportunity of being here 3 weeks in a row. Often during the summer I'm away for this, for Soul Survivor, for a conference, on holiday, and so I'm in and out of church, as most of us are over the summer. Yet this year, the way things have fallen is that I shall be here for 3 weeks in a row. Which means that I've decided to do a three-week series. And I recognise that doing a three-week series when everybody's in and out means that you might just get one part of it and not the other two parts. What I would say is this is a series that sits together. And if you hear the first part and you don't hear the second part or the third part, you might miss out on quite a bit. So you're here the first week, and I would encourage you, if you're away next week or the week after, to go on the internet and have a look and listen to these sermons. If you're not here this week, I'd encourage you to listen to this week. How do I do that? Next week, perhaps. The series that I've entitled it is A Maturing Faith, looking at the book of Habakkuk. And this week we're going to look at the first chapter of this book under the title Feeling Frustrated with God. Feeling Frustrated with God. So if you have your Bibles with you, or you have your iPads or your phones or whatever you're looking at in the Bibles, turn with me to the book of Habakkuk. If you can't find it, go to Matthew and turn back 5 books. Okay, so go to Matthew. It's great to have, these days I've become lazy. I just type in H-A-B and up it pops. In the digital age, we fail to remember the books of the Bible. But it's 5 books back from Matthew. I'm speaking a little bit longer to give you the chance. Andy, is it there? Fantastic, thank you. So Habakkuk 1, verse 1 to 17. The oracle that Habakkuk, the prophet, received. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abound. Therefore the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if I were to tell you. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwelling places not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong, their horsemen come from afar. They fly like a vulture swooping to devour. They all come bent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They deride kings and scoff at rulers. They laugh at all fortified cities. They build earthen ramps and capture them. Then they sweep past like the wind and go on, guilty men whose own strength is their guard. O Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, we will not die. O Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. O Rock, you have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? You have made men like fish in the sea, like sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe pulls all of them up with their hooks. He catches them in his net. He gathers them up in his dragnet. And so he rejoices and is glad. Therefore he sacrifices to his net and burns incense to his dragnet. For by his net he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest food. is he to keep on emptying his nets, destroying nations without mercy? Father God, these are difficult words and a difficult passage. Speak, Holy Spirit, to our hearts, we pray. Enlighten your word. May it be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Amen. Just to give you a little bit of background, we don't know much about Habakkuk, but he was probably an official temple musician stroke prophet, a contemporary of Nahum, Zephaniah and Jeremiah. Habakkuk itself covers about 66 years from 605 BC to 539 BC, which was when the corrupt King Jehoiakim ruled in Jerusalem. It describes the Babylonian victory over Jerusalem and prophesies Babylon's subsequent fall to Persia. The first two chapters take a form of Habakkuk complaining to God and God's answer, and the third chapter is a psalm of worship. The book has been described as a timeless witness to God's purposes in a world dominated by corruption and violence. A timeless witness to God's purposes in a world dominated by corruption and violence. How appropriate for today's world. The overall title of this series is A Maturing Faith, for this book provides a picture of Habakkuk's faith maturing as the story progresses. This is a vital topic for Christians. Our faith needs to continually grow and mature each and every day. There is not an occasion when we shouldn't be maturing in our faith. It doesn't matter how young or how old you are, your faith should be maturing day by day. Paul in the book of Ephesians says this, "It was he, Christ, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastor teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." Maturing does not stop until we attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We will never be mature until we attain the full measure of Christ in us. And that will not happen until that day that we go to be with Jesus. So it is a lifelong process, and if you're 90, then there is more maturing to get. You may think you're more mature than you were when you were younger, but in Christ, we all have a long journey to go on the maturing process. So these messages on a maturing faith are relevant and important to each and every one here this morning. This isn't just for young people. This morning we're going to look at Habakkuk's first complaint and God's answer, followed by Habakkuk's second complaint. And the book, the passage that I read, kind of stops at the end of his second complaint, and we don't get the answer. We're going to get that in the second week. God's answer to Habakkuk's second complaint, and then the following week we'll look at that final psalm of Habakkuk's in chapter 3, and most probably the most familiar part of the whole book of Habakkuk. Anyhow, that's just a taster of what is to come for the next 2 weeks, so if you're going on holiday next week, you know what you're going to be missing, and hopefully you'll look forward to finding that on the internet and listening to it. To guide us through this week, we are going to look at this passage under two headings. The first is horrible happenings, and the second is complaining constructively. So if you're making notes, the first part is horrible happenings, and the second is complaining constructively. So let's start with horrible happenings. If we are to have a mature faith, it is important that we have a realistic understanding of life and faith. Unfortunately, all too often we dignify the Christian faith, making it out as if we come to Jesus and all of our problems will be solved. That not only is our future secure, but we will prosper in all that we do. We take the lovely verses of the Bible, like, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Expecting everything to turn out well, prayers to be answered, and to find God each and every time that we seek him. I don't want to ruin what are lovely verses that you may well have received at your baptism and think those are my verses. But they were a promise to a people who had been exiled for 70 years. So things weren't good for them. And they were the promise of God to people in the depths of despair. A chocolate box Christianity is not the picture of a mature faith, which deals with the awful realities of the world in which we live. Unfortunately, horrible things happen. Prayers don't seem to be answered, and we can feel frustrated with God. Listen again to the opening words of Habakkuk. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received: "How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds." The word oracle here might be better translated burden. Habakkuk has a burden. God doesn't seem to be listening to him or answering his prayers, and horrible things are happening all around him. I don't know about you, but sometimes that's how life feels to me. Things don't go the way we think they should. God seems to be silent, and we don't have our prayers answered, and we get into that feeling of immense frustration. And this may seem a wholly negative experience, but we can look at it quite differently. If you don't feel that frustration, let me offer you a challenge. If you don't feel that depth of despair frustration, let me offer you a challenge. Because I think we need to feel the depth of despair frustration sometimes. Perhaps we need to open our eyes to the world around us. Perhaps you need to turn on the news and see people killing each other in God's wonderful world. And you feel the injustice of it. Maybe you need to see the people that are hurting and going through horrendous issues in their life. Of rape, abuse. And perhaps you need to open your eyes to that and see that horrible things happen in the world. And then catch a burden for the injustice that people face in this world. There are injustices going on in this world, and we need to capture, like Habakkuk, that burden, that passion, to feel the weight of the injustice and call out to God in the midst of it. Sometimes our burden is for ourselves. Oh, woe is me, everything is going wrong for me. We need to catch a burden for the world and what is going wrong in that and cry out to God. But in a world where horrible things happen, or even in lives where things don't go the way that we think they should, honest dialogue with God is a necessary part of a mature relationship with him. Honest dialogue with God is a necessary part of a mature relationship with him. If you just pray to God and say, "God, please help me with this, do that, do that." If you do not go to God with that injustice, that sense of things are tough, "God, listen to me. This is going wrong. How can you let that happen?" Then I put it to you that our relationship is immature. Time and time again, the psalmist cries out to God in the depths of despair. Listen to the words of Psalm 130 and Psalm 22. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry out to you day, but you do not answer. By night, and I'm not silent. You recognize that second psalm. It's the words of Jesus Christ on the cross. He himself went to God and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That sense of frustration, that sense of aloneness, that sense of abandonment in the face of horrible things happening. A mature relationship, a mature faith recognizes that horrible things happen. And we go to God with them. We take them to God in honest dialogue. But let me tell you this. Honesty with God isn't just a shortcut back to the rose garden. Honesty with God isn't just a shortcut back to the rose garden. Don't think that you can go to God and say, God, why are you away? Why is this? And take all your troubles and woes to God and call to him and cry out to him. Don't think that then suddenly the sun will come up and all will be well. Habakkuk does it. His first complaint is, God, injustice all around me. Why? You're not listening to me, oh God. What does God say in response? Not rhetorical.
Watch.
First thing he says. Summarize God's response in chapter 2. He starts it with watch. Look. Three times he says different things that have watch. That is a very important word. He says watch. Look. Be amazed. You wouldn't believe it if I told you it. That's what God said. I'm going to tell you something, I'm going to show you something, and you wouldn't believe it. I'm going to bring the Babylonians in. And you think you're in a bad way now? Just you watch and wait. It's going to get worse. The Babylonians coming. A mature faith recognizes horrible things happen and deals honestly with God about them. Not just as a nice, cozy way back to a beautiful day. But because a mature faith is about an honest relationship with God, whatever the situation, whether things are bad or things are worse, it is about developing that relationship with God in the midst of a horrible world. Habakkuk is very honest and lets God know how he's feeling, and he does so in the form of complaints. So we're moving on to the second point, complaining constructively. As Christians, we often seem to feel that it's wrong to complain. For perhaps we should have learned with Paul the secret of being content in every situation. And therefore we adopt this public positivism, never wanting to be seen as unspiritual by complaining. Some people don't even bother with that. They don't even bother to learn contentment. They complain about anything and everything to anyone and everyone that will listen. Not recognizing there is a spiritual dimension to it, nor recognizing the damage that constant complaining does to all those to whom they complain. So what's the answer? Well, here we can learn from Habakkuk how to complain constructively. How to complain constructively. Let's look at Habakkuk's second complaint. And we can notice some important aspects of how to complain constructively. O Lord, Are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, we will not die. O Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. O Rock, you have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look at evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? The first thing to notice about Habakkuk's complaints is that they are directed at God. It's easy to complain to anyone and everyone who will listen, but that is generally very destructive. It helps you little and takes them down lots. If you're a person that complains a lot, use that, and there's some of us that are that way. Use that as an opportunity to mature in your faith and develop a deeper relationship with God by taking your burdens to Him in prayer. If you're a person that complains every 5 minutes and you take seriously this sermon and the words of this, and you then take every complaint that you say to somebody else, to God, and if you're complaining every 5 minutes, wow, you will be praying every 5 minutes. You will become a different person. Let me guarantee you this. If you are a complainer and you take that to God, you will change. I heard a quote this week, whilst at Keswick, that Spurgeon, at the end of his ministry, having ministered for 40 years, said he has not gone half an hour without talking to Jesus. In the whole of his life, he has not gone half an hour without talking to Jesus. I wonder if he was a complainer. But he learned how to take his complaint to God. That's the challenge for us. If we're complainers, take it to God. If you find yourself listening to a Christian who is complaining, the best thing you can do for them is help redirect their complaint to God. Positively, without making them feel awful in the process, but encourage them to quit complaining to you and take it to God, because most of things, if I complain to you, you're highly unlikely to be able to solve it. The only thing I'm doing is letting off steam, making you feel bad, and not making myself feel a lot better. It's not solving anything, generally. But if you take it to the one who created the universe, he can. He can sort it in the moment. If that was his will, he would sort it in a moment. We have to be recognized that, like Habakkuk, he may say, hey, worse is coming. But at least you'll be prepared for it. So, complaining constructively. For those that are complainers, take it to God. For those that are listening to complainers, and we often fall into those categories, redirect them to God. Don't listen to the complaining. It doesn't help a lot. The second thing to notice is that Habakkuk, as an integral part of his complaint, voices an affirmation for the character of God and the relationship with him. O Lord, are you not from everlasting? He affirms first and foremost that God is the everlasting God. My God! He affirms a positive relationship with God. Holy One! He brings forth the aspect of the character of God. In the midst of his complaining, Habakkuk focuses on the character and nature of the wonderful God and his relationship with him. We need to, in our complaining, voice our affirmation and our confirmation of his character. It's so important that our complaining, that we don't lose perspective. When you say, oh, this has happened and that's happened and, I hurt myself and this and that. I know. Just before we went away, or the first day of our holiday, I hurt myself. And I did my leg in and I couldn't run and I was immensely frustrated. And you can get yourself into such a negative mindset when something goes wrong. You can say, oh, poor me. In America, they call it the pity party. Where you think, oh, woe is me, everything's going wrong. And everything you look at seems to be going wrong. And one thing goes wrong and then everything seems to go wrong. And we say, oh, it comes in threes in some superstitious way. It doesn't come in threes. When something goes wrong, you can focus in on it or you can focus in on the God who is over all the universe. You can say, oh, this situation is so awful. I think I'll go and complain to somebody about it. Did you know that the car's broken down and I've not got a car? And you can complain about it. Or you can go to the God of heaven and earth, the great mechanic in the sky, who can solve your problem in an instant. And he may say, look, hey, mate, your car's broken down because I want you to learn to walk. I want you to have half an hour with me bringing your complaint about the car to me. And I want you to do it remembering who I am and doing it in a sense of worship. How long can you complain, sustain a complaint as part of worship? This is a challenge to you. Perhaps, who's leading worship next week? Is it me? Oh dear, perhaps I shouldn't say this. This is a frivolous comment. Please take it as that. Perhaps we should scrap it from the tape, I don't know. Come to worship next week with something that you're complaining about. And try and worship whilst focusing on what you're complaining about. And focusing on God. I wonder how long you could sustain your complaining if you were worshipping. If you focused on the awesome God who loves us with an everlasting love, who loves us so much that he sent his son, his dearly loved son, to die for us, and you were complaining about the fact that your wife didn't love you. And that she hadn't got up and made you a cup of tea or whatever. And yet you experienced something of the amazing, awesome love of God. How long do you think you could sustain that complaint for? I think that's the first challenge I want to do. If we focus on worshipping God, his wonderful character, we will soon see that complaint, for what it is, more often than not, complaint is basic selfishness. And if you focus on God, you can get rid of the basic selfishness. Habakkuk's complaint wasn't basic selfishness, I think, on the whole. He was complaining about injustice, and he was saying to God, how can you let injustice happen? And this brings me on to the second thing that I want to say about complaining constructively. When we express complaint, can we do so with absolute faith in God? Habakkuk says, we will not die. We will not die. How absolutely awesome that in the midst of his complaining, he focuses in not only on the character of God, but the faithfulness of God, and he has absolute certainty in the God that will not let him die. What a challenge that when we get into that complainingness, we have absolute faith in the God that will sort things out, and he will judge the world with righteousness, with equity, in truth. We often complain and we say, oh, it's not fair. Why is it happening to me? It's not fair. Do we not trust the God who judges the world with fairness? Righteous God.
there's so much more. I could preach forever on this wonderful complaint. There is so much more, but there is so much more practical good stuff in this book about how to complain constructively, but I want to leave it there. Go to God, not others. Rather than be a complainer, be an intercessor. Let worship be the context for your complaint and stand firm in your faith in God, even in the depths of despair. There you have it, summarized in two lines, what I said under how you deal constructively with complaining. A maturing faith recognizes the reality of a fallen world in which we live. It doesn't just dismiss it and say, try and explain away horrible things. Horrible things happen. Sometimes it seems God is not listening. He's not answering our prayers. And maybe that's because it's all about us. The prayers that God loves to answer are prayers about injustice, about his world. We need to recognize we live in a world where horrible things happen, but affirm a gracious God who is in the midst of it. Maybe you're going through the depths of despair. You've got a lot to complain about, and you've been challenged to take it to God, and you need a little help with that. Well, as Tricia said earlier, we're going to have a time at the end where there's opportunity for people to pray with you if you want one of the elders or anybody. Every member ministry church here. If you want prayer, just say, and somebody around you will pray for you. You're not sitting by the people you're sitting by accident. There are people nearby you who are willing to pray for you. If you want prayer because you haven't experienced the love of God, you're struggling, you're in despair, then go and ask somebody to pray. Help them redirect you to the great and wonderful God. So let's affirm with confidence as we stand and sing. Let's affirm with confidence the Christ who holds us through whatever we're going through. In Christ alone, my hope is found.